Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice, but to get on. Okay. We're doing a best of. Rainn Wilson and Dave Koechner were live on stage in Oxnard. Everyone loved this show, so we thought we'd air it for you. Or re-air it for you. Podcast1.com is where you can go, by the way. And we have a lot of premium stuff there, as well as this in our archives and the Take a Knee and all that good stuff and all the shows. So just go to podcast1.com and check that out. And I'll tell you about Blinds Galore. They do one thing. They do it better than anyone. Create 100% custom window treatments to your exact measurements, down to every little detail. Oh, these guys are good. I use them. Oh, you've heard it all before, but I literally have them in every window opening in my house and every window opening at my shop and at my office and the edit bays. And I just built out a new area and put some new desks in there. Went with Blinds Galore. This time I didn't go white. I went with a royal blue. Anyway, they are perfectionists. They're great at what they do. The product is unbelievable. Don't go to the big box store and come out of there with some sort of one-size-fits-all junk. Now, go to Blinds Galore. Makes it easy to get the designer blinds and shades you've always wanted without the designer price tag. Check out BlindsGalore.com. Let them know I sent you. Great sponsor, great people that came by the shop, showed them the cars. BlindsGalore.com. Let them know I sent you. All right. So, without any further ado, a show that I was completely running on fumes for. I had no sleep at all. So, I did nothing but Rainn Wilson and Dave Koechner carried the day.
Live from Levity Live in Oxnard, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guests tonight, David Koechner and Rainn Wilson. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of made-up movie. And now, he's going to do something he should have done a long time ago. Adam Carolla!
Telling a friend, thanks for coming out, Oxnard. We do appreciate it. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Gina Grad over there.
Good evening. Thank you for having me on your program, Mr. Carolla.
Always a pleasure, Koechner. And, The one guy whose mic you definitely don't want on tonight.
Leave his off.
Here, switch me.
All right, there we go. There we go. And Rainn Wilson is here.
Hi. How's it going? Oxnard. How's it going, Oxnard? That's a delicious name.
Tell everyone, because I know the origin of Oxnard. You tell everybody the origins of Isuzu. Azusa.
So,
well, wait a minute. I have two questions. Azusa.
Uh-huh.
By the way, stop being assholes, everybody. I'm working on 4.5 hours sleep. I was in fucking Irwindale at 6 this morning. I was supposed to say Azusa, but I said Isuzu, and Brian went, he's mad. Mad, I tell you, he's mad.
It's going to be that kind of show.
Listen.
What were you doing in Irwindale?
Isuzu exists. Uh-huh. It would have been really insane if I made up Isuzu. Uh-huh. Azusa. Sorry.
Speaking of made up.
Go find a mirror, would you, Brian?
Go find a mirror. What were you doing in Irwindale?
I was in Irwindale. Yes.
Yeah, it's all.
It's his,
Adam Carolla's mic was
Gina's mic.
Not on. Darling, all right. Thank you.
Mike August, everybody. Up here.
Sorry.
Thanks, Mike. Just to check. The Azusa is a suburb out past Pasadena, and it's a fabricated name that was made up because it's everything from A to Z in the USA, Azusa.
Right.
It's true. That's a true story. It's not a comedy story. It's a true story. But you said you know Oxnard. Well, how is Oxnard? What's the origin
first,
of that?
Well, first, Zuzu is the same, but it's Ukraine they use at the end. Okay?
From I to U.
Wiseacre. Oxnard's an Indian name. Just meaning balls of a bull. Oh. The ox nard. The nards.
Nard of
the
ox.
It's Latin. The oxen of the nards of the ox. It's a bull.
And of course,
it's
an
Indian name.
Community slogan, of course, is stay hard in Oxnard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody put that shit on a hoodie and get rich. Now I'm scared to name cities in front of Brian. Let me check
Irwindale.
My notes. I was in
you
Irwindale.
Were in Toyota Corona.
I was in Corona. I was in Irwindale at the Irwindale racetrack. They have like a half mile oval or something over there in Irwindale. I think Chris has a picture of it, and I was shooting a commercial for a video game. Everything's just online, and I don't even know what it is anymore. But it's the hottest place on the planet Earth, and it's like it's basically Badwater Basin from Death Valley, but warmer. And you do these stupid fittings. You guys know how it goes. Like,
we'll
put you in some jeans and some boots and a hoodie and a parka and a ski mask, and we'll wrap you in foil. So we're standing in the middle of this asphalt, basically jungle the entire day. A guy had one of those devices to measure the heat off stuff. Like if you come in, do a pit stop, and they'll put it on the brakes of a car to see how hot the brakes are and stuff like that.
It's got a red light, right?
Yeah, it's got a laser. It's a laser. He put it on the asphalt at about 3 in the afternoon, and we were just standing in the middle of this place on the asphalt shooting all day. The temperature, we have a picture of it, 153 degrees. Speaking of nards, I didn't think my balls could get any longer. You know how the Grinch's heart grew?
Yeah.
That's what happened to my sack in Irwindale.
Do that.
Like, I didn't think it could dwarf my cock any more than it already does. It is.
They stretch when they get hot like that?
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Yeah. I threw them over my shoulder like a Continental Soldier when I left. I just went, boom.
They're trying to get away from the sun. They're like, we're out of here.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they're diving. All right, periscope down. Yeah, so it's a weird thing. So they just decided to stand on the middle of this asphalt football field in Irwindale and shoot the entire day. And, of course, you guys know this too. If somebody says to me, just go to the mailbox and come back. I'll go, where are my sunglasses and where's my ball cap? But when you shoot and you're shooting, it's like, oh, let's get the sunglasses. Let's get the ball cap. But it's insane because you would be wearing sunglasses and a ball cap if you're staring into the fiery pits of the sun, yes?
You'd be insane if you weren't.
Right. Right. But when you're shooting stuff, they don't...
They don't want that.
So I spent the entire... I had a 6:30 call time in Irwindale, and then I told them I had a hard out. A hard out at 5:30.
An Oxnard hard out.
An Oxnard hard. Hard out. So they wrapped me about 6:10. Mm-hmm. And then I fled home as fast as I could get home because the only place Irwindale is so the different. I mean, you have to just the way you get to Irwindale is you turn your back to Oxnard and you just keep walking till you hit a pool of fire. That's how they explain. I said I could waste it. They said no. Turn your back exactly to wherever Oxnard is and just keep walking until you enter a volcano, and that'll be Irwindale.
But how will I know when I get there?
Right. So I had to turn around and hustle home. I got home at like 6:41, and Mike was going to meet me in my house at 6:45 to then hustle it over to Oxnard. But somewhere in the time I ran home and was able to change before I got out the door – I got this one. I know you guys' wives are here. Did you get this one? I've got this one where my wife did the, did you feed Phil? 110-pound Labrador. No, I got up at 5:30. I was out at 5:45. Okay, so you didn't feed Phil? Like, no, I didn't feed Phil.
How is that not the kid's job? Why is that your job?
You have a kid named Sarge, right?
It's just a waste of my time.
Yeah. I got a son named Soft. We're going to name him Flaccid, but we thought that was a little technical, so we just went with Soft. It was inspired by Sarge.
Sure.
We knew it'd be ironic.
Nearly the exact same age. Your kid's birthday is...
They're June 7th.
And our twins are June 2nd.
And they just turned 11.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, so you just beat us. Right.
It's not a competition. It's
Well, everything kind of breaks down.
It's just the day you're born.
Yeah.
Okay, beat you.
Yeah, you beat us all by right. 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we were supposed to go 6:06. And I'm not a religious man, but I saw Damien and Omen enough to go. These kids are... They're already born under a dark cloud known as the Corollas. Why screw it up anymore? You know, for that little...
Yeah, they've got a burden already.
Right. So he's going in for his first job interview, and the weird guys into Santeria is hiring him and then trying to shave his head and look for the 666 that's scribed on his scalp. Why burden him anymore?
Why can't he feed a dog, though?
Oh, yeah. Rain, I now have discovered what you're here for.
Yeah, to keep
you
things on
are
track.
Going to rein us in.
There we go. Nice.
When
pun.
We go on a tangent, you're going to slide in and pull this whole show back on track.
That's working. Yeah.
They can't feed the dog because they're soft and they're pampered and we're horrible parents. And we're horrible parents and they're worse kids. Like, to be honest... They do play a role in this. It's not just all bad parenting. It's horrific parenting. You know, it's like, hey, there's a lot of bad cops. There's a lot of bad people. You know what I mean? They're the bad people. We're the bad cops.
Now, Adam, I don't know you very well, but I do know that you love cars.
I do.
You love boxing. Mm-hmm. You love home improvement.
Yes.
You love tequila drinks.
Yes, yes.
Or no, Spanish wine drinks.
Yes. Yeah, Mangria. Yes.
These are very manly pursuits. So yeah. This child of yours, he doesn't follow in your footsteps, Soft?
No. Oh, Masani? No, listen. Look, and I don't mean this with, any malice at all. I know he's going to be gay. I've made my peace with that. I've talked to my therapist. We're just praying for a top now. It's no longer... The gay part's not in question anymore. And again, we've moved on. We don't judge. We made our peace. There's nothing you can do. It's like that scene in Goodfellas where they shoot Pesci. And there's nothing. There's nothing they could have done about it. Just I hit the phone booth a couple of times, you know, when I first figured it out. But now moved past it. And it's just He's going to be gay. We'd like him to be a top. That's all.
That's
a
that.
Father can dream.
That's that. There's nothing you can do.
What if he wants to have fun and be a bottom? I mean,
Then he has to be a power bottom. You shut your mouth, Keckner.
There's a lot of ways.
Weekends, holidays, that's his time.
We get a show of hands. How many bottoms do we have here tonight?
No, come on. Just this wanna, guy up.
Hold
this
on.
Guy
La-
here.
Ladies, no, on. Ladies only.
Come I want the chicken wing. Oh.
So, they don't do anything we tell them to do, and they certainly don't do anything they tell each other to do. As a matter of fact, I knew my son was sort of twisted and cruel and sad and had actually become an adult when he said, I think we're at my shop, and he said, shotgun to get home. I'm glad that still exists, by the way. The two things, Marco Polo, although I'd like to replace that with Adam Carolla. Okay, but maybe I have done it. Adam
Carolla.
I think we've done it. So
we got a cult.
It just might stick.
That and shotgun still exists. And so my son, this is when I realized he joined us miserable adults. The other day, we're at the shop, and he's like, shotgun on the way home. And Natalia's like, no. Mommy dropped me off, and you had shotgun on the way, and I called shotgun the other day. And I'm riding shotgun, and my son, like, thought about it, and he realized he'd been, like, checkmated by my daughter. And he went, okay, all right, here's what. Why don't we both ride in the back seat? Meaning, why don't we both just be miserable? Look. I'm never going to be as happy as I am in the front seat with you in the back seat, but if I'm in the back seat, I'm going to be miserable. But if you're next to me being miserable, then we'll both be miserable. It'll make me marginally happier. This is why we watch The Real Housewives of Orange County. Does that bitch really need two nannies? I mean, she doesn't even have a job. I have to then say to my wife, I didn't see that part. The nanny was blocking the TV set. So, Olga, could you move? Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. What was that again? all right, so Rain and Dave are going to order. They're going to order some meals up on stage, right? And I think Dave has a
can
little
we set
story.
That up?
Yeah,
can we
a
recap?
Story.
And I'm a little upset that you're not joining us for dinner, but you know what? That just means I get one more. All right. So, if you want to reset the table of why I'm insisting on a dinner,
yes,
with you and Rain Wilson's.
Oh, right. Oh, yes. All right. Yes. I think Chris Maxipata has the recording.
Hi. I'm sorry. I'm just going to order something here.
Hello? All right.
What's your name?
Izzy.
Izzy?
Okay.
What do you recommend?
You ever been to Azusa, Izzy?
No, I haven't.
What do you recommend? And don't say it's all good.
I really like the black and shrimp pasta.
Fuck no.
I'm not a shrimp guy.
I'm not a pasta guy.
I'm not a black guy.
Oh.
Well, I mean, we had to cover it, didn't we? Shrimp, black, and pasta. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Can I just have some of the tacos?
The flavored tacos?
Oh, yeah.
No, just like, give me a chicken and a pork and a pork belly and a filet mignon taco.
Wow, that's a power move. Now,
can you do that? For me, just say the guy who's on the stage wants one of each.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have to go talk to
the kitchen. Charge this to Mike August's credit card.
She's got to talk to the kitchen to see if they have enough snot rockets to cover all of those.
Now,
like, I'm a little milksy, but I'm not that bad. Roberto, come in here. Yeah, you good? Yeah, let's go. Rain Wilson's ordered. Some assholes ordered all the tacos.
Izzy, I see you have dirty fries. Are those anything like butthole fries? Exactly like that? Okay.
Dirty Sanchez fries.
It's their version of butthole fries? Okay.
What are the dirty fries? They're delicious?
Ask Sonny.
Are you eating dirty fries? Or what's in a dirty
what
fry?
Makes them dirty?
What's on a dirty fry?
Well, there's
fry?
A bunch of different types. We have there's a spice mix with a sriracha ranch. There's a bacon and cheddar.
Let's go with that.
You want that?
I've realized there's too many choices now, right? Like I can't fucking buy deodorant because I'm like, oh man, I went the honey rose. I went the natural scent. I went the sports scent. I went the powdered. I went the musk. And then there's this one. There's the unscented. What the fuck do you want from me? You're going to smell like your dog or cigars or whatever the fuck you're into. I'm out. I'm just some clear shit you spread under your arm.
Are you an Old Spice guy?
I don't. I like the stuff that doesn't smell. Like, my whole thing is I don't like the super ultra red zone power stick. Like, I made my New Year's resolution was to demand more from my deodorant because I've seen a lot of commercials where the guy's like, your day is spent doing this. And the guy's on the job site and he's got the hard hat and there's a black fella and a Hispanic fella and they're pointing at the plans. And then that night, you know, he's back at the office. He has a jacket thrown over his shoulder. I've never even done that with a jacket unless I was being ironic. I never seriously threw a jacket flung over the shoulder. Now he's got the sleeves rolled up and he's in the boardroom and there's some guy with salt and pepper in his hair and he's duly impressed that this guy's presentation is doing this. He's got both hands. Later on, he's in the subway and there's a hot chick. She's pulled up to his underarm pit. But he's dry as hell. It's the dog days of summer.
Same,
he's got
same jacket over his shoulder.
He's taking the S train to wait a minute. Irwindale.
To
I said Irvine.
To Azusa.
Yeah, to Azusa. Yeah, no problem. Later on that night, he's with his lady. The next morning, he's living in that apartment that has the Harley motorcycle and the heavy bag swinging over here with the brick facade. Yeah. She's wearing one of his dress shirts. Still protected. Still demanding so much from his deodorant. And I just thought, why don't I? I put on a little fucking Tom's of Maine. I go into the next room and cry. Why am I not demanding so much out of this, you know? So, yeah, I am going to start demanding more for my dear. I suggest you two do the same.
Well, now we've got a short rib roasted pepper stout gravy goat cheese crema fries. Do you want those?
The prima or the dirty
just
fries?
Just get one of each one. It's on
one
Adam.
One of each dirty fries.
Yeah.
Do you have a wedge salad? Okay.
Do you have,
let's
do you have
go an, somewhere else.
There's a Chipotle across this.
Do they have a wedge?
I love a wedge salad. The wedge salad is really somebody just went, fuck it. People don't like salad. Let's stop trying. I'm just going to put a huge. Here's what I'm going to do. On top of the plate, we'll put another plate made of hard lettuce, and it'll hold a metric ton of croutons, bacon, and blue cheese, and a hard-boiled egg. And then you can just eat that off the top of the salad. They should just have a salad. They should just have a salad plate that just looks like a leaf of lettuce, and then they could pour a bunch of bacon onto it.
Now you're talking.
And a bunch of ranch, and we just spoon it in our mouth.
Are you hungry? Are you just having fries? Do you want something else?
I'm going to have the messy onion rings. Those are the ones where the guy put it on his dick, did one lap, slid it off onto my plate. Just
those
one,
are good.
Just once around.
Those
I'm not some weirdo. I don't want the twice around, Boulder. And it's always clockwise. I don't go that way.
You know what? That's called al dente. With teeth. It's a great way to get a blowjob, too.
I think we're going to do
a
little.
Onion.
We're going to do a little made-up movie. Are we not?
For now,
sure. Gina Grad, did you get a microphone yet?
I got something. I'll project.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah. We are going to throw out the name of the movie. Oh, you have them.
Yeah, we collected some earlier. We have some titles from the audience. These are titles. We're going to build a movie just off the title provided.
Okay.
Stars, plot, everything. You ready?
Oh, we've got to cast it as well.
Oh, okay.
We're
doing
all
the
work. It. Yeah.
And the plot, we come up with the plot.
We do.
Everything. Yeah.
We do.
Right. I don't know any actors under 40, so.
In a world where titles are many and plots are few, one man can take your movie names and make them come to life.
What is going on?
Adam Carolla stars in Made Up Movie.
All right.
First one.
Thank you.
First one from Manny right here in Oxnard. He says the title, Backstage Pass. Backstage Pass.
I like that. Any thoughts?
Well, it sounds like there's going to be a dirty onion ring. Honestly, Backstage Pass sounds a little bit like a gay porn.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
That's Backdoor Pass.
Backdoor Pass.
Right.
But this is...
Wow.
Right. All right.
And thank
how
you
about
for
this?
Seeing
it.
No,
how
but
about
backstage
this?
Is
all right, we're starting.
It's a little gay because it's a theater,
okay,
which is wonderful.
So it's a musical.
I think it's a musical. I think in the footsteps of La La Land, I think it's a musical.
All right. And I think I can do this one. It's going to be a little on the nose. It's a musical. Okay. Mark Wahlberg plays a roadie.
Great singer, yeah.
So far, so good.
Plays a roadie. And, but the guy was a star of his high school football team, star quarterback.
Right.
Maybe you know where this is going now. Instead, blew out his knee in college and now has been roading for the band, the Cow Sills. I bring them up because they sung Hair. They sung the theme. Didn't they sing the theme to Hair?
That sounds about right.
I don't know.
All right. Now we got yes, any old weirdos out there? Text my son. Let's see if we can get an answer.
Long, beautiful hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. He's playing around with the other roadies, just throwing the ball back and forth. They're killing time while the band's up on stage.
So his knee's not so bad that he can move big equipment around, amps around.
Yeah, we're going to work around. We'll put a brace on him or something.
Okay. He's more of a guitar tech.
But at some point, the football comes to him, and he throws it, and you know he's got a great arm because we hear that sound they do in movies when the guy's got a great... and it startles the guy. And there's an agent, sports agent, back there.
Mike August.
Mike August. Yeah, it's a little Jerry Maguire meets... was it Keanu Reeves, The Replacements, meets...
Bob Sugar?
Yeah, no, I was going to say meets a musical.
Oh, okay. About the agent specifically.
Right.
So who's the agent? Is it...
Who's that guy who had that HBO agent show where he was always on...
Arliss.
Arliss.
It's Arliss.
It was on for like 27 years and no one watched it.
Robert Wool.
Bob Wall, sure.
It is weird that Arliss was on 27 years.
It was so long, yeah.
And nobody... You guys remember Arliss?
Uh-huh. Did anyone watch Arliss?
No.
One guy.
One guy,
that guy did.
Right.
He also worked on the show, so...
But it's back when HBO shows just needed to be. They didn't need to be good. They didn't need to be bad.
There it is.
There's Arliss. Yeah. Yeah.
My buddy Jim Turner was in the show, so I like the show. I never saw it.
Yeah, he
auditioned for it once, didn't get the job. So
really, what was the role?
It was a talk radio, like a sports talk guy.
Oh well, you could have done that.
How did you not get that?
Because there used to be some guy with a real gravelly voice that did like a late night sports talk show here in L.A.
Oh,
hey, let's talk about this. Not the guy that's on now from USC, but...
That was Pharrell on the bench.
Is that what it was?
Pharrell.
Pour him a cold one.
Right.
So I did it like that, and they just stared at me because I thought, this is a good take.
Scott Pharrell was in the same building as Loveline, which wasn't very big, and he'd be doing his show. Mm-hmm. You know he was a good broadcaster because he had a microphone, and the microphone, the handle of it was a baseball bat.
Nice.
So you know he knew sports. He had to know sports.
You don't get those just anyone.
Right. So he used to sit back there and do Scotty Pharrell on the bench with the crazy voice, and we'd be up front doing Loveline all the time. So I know Scott ended up moving to New York, but we digress. So you never got onto our list, but a good thing, according to Rain Wilson, right?
It's fine. Yes. Didn't affect my...
Anyone have any more story here? Because I feel like I've driven it off
a cliff. So Mark Wahlberg is the secret skill that this agent sees
backstage?
It's
a musical, but he's still got a good arm. So they have to sing about football.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Well, can I put a twist in there?
Because, yeah, please.
I mean, he's clearly past his prime. He's not going to play professional football. Is that where you're going?
You tell that to Mark Wahlberg.
Okay. I'll tell you next time I see him.
I know who's playing the agent. Tilda Swinton.
Yes,
Tilda
is.
Swinton.
That's
yes,
good.
We go against type. She
can
pull off anything.
Exactly.
But I think...
She's playing a man.
Yes.
Agent.
She's also... Didn't she just do a movie that she played a different ethnic type?
It was...
Well,
yeah,
Doctor
Strange, she was the...
She played a white chick. She's clear now.
Anyway,
she's translucent.
Yeah, well, it's like she's one of those sandblasted shower doors. Light passes through her.
You don't
get to see what she's thinking or her innards, but light will pass through.
Yeah.
Yes.
In science class when you can see through see the organs in the body.
Yeah, she's like that. I'm sorry.
I was going to say maybe a twist on it because it seems like this guy's going to get a tryout and he comes off the bench. and he wins the big game.
Right.
I think the twist is that she's a recruiter for the CIA.
Ah. Oh. And he's one of the greatest marksmen to ever be drummed out of this man's...
Because you're going to expect... They're going to be looking for snipers.
Right.
But they're never going to be looking for,
for the quarterback
with a rifle arm.
Oh, this is good. So a little Manchurian candidate.
Wow. There it is. There's a poster.
There he is.
Yeah.
That's the poster.
That is the picture of Marky Mark as a roadie throwing a football.
No, but maybe he needs to go to North Korea, and that's a bomb, and he needs to throw it through a very small aperture.
Thank you.
This is good.
And that's why they got him, because his ability to... pinpoint a football through a small opening.
I'll tell you what, he also wasn't going to do it, but his kid's sick.
Oh, and the other one has been kidnapped.
Yep, and the government has the cure for his sick kid, but they ain't going to cure him
if
he don't do his diligence.
I'm trying to think.
And that's a great musical number, Diligence.
Yeah. Shall we?
Okay.
Yes, please.
Is it a ballad? Do you think Diligence is a
no.
song?
I think it's an up-tempo.
It's a snappy number. It's a snappy number.
I don't want to take this assignment.
I've got one word for you, one word for you, and it rhymes with pilligence.
Pilligence, pilligence, what could it possibly be?
The word, I think you know that word. That word is coming to me. You gotta have diligence. Diligence. You gotta do your due diligence. Or your child's gonna die of that terrible face cancer. For which we have the cure.
And then we go back to the movie.
Wow. Yeah.
Is that a thing, face cancer?
Yeah,
is that,
I think I'm
that
pretty
too
sure
offensive
you can do
for
it.
Even?
I think it's something you could wish on your worst enemy. Like, I feel like you screaming, I hope you get face cancer. It's like one of the best things you could yell from a car window. Like, there are things I can do in a living room, but I feel like I can do more damage from inside a car. As a matter of fact, when I'm arguing with my wife, I would like to just have a car door... Yeah. on casters that I could put, and I could roll the window down, and I could yell insults through the window. Because when I'm sitting on a sofa and I'm just kind of staring at my kneecaps, like I can't get it done. But from inside the car,
you do your best work from the window. You see face cancer. It's like in that Mark Wahlberg movie. Yeah, she's
right.
Gone.
Right. Right.
Are you good at singing and rapping inside the car too?
No, I'm not good. I'm not good at singing. I'm not good at rapping. I have no gifts, no abilities.
Even in the car with the windows up.
Oh, no, but we do have what's known as tool tunes, which are songs. Well, Brian will define a tool tune.
A tool tune, so there's good songs. Everyone agrees they're good, and there's guilty pleasures. They're bad, but you enjoy them. A tool tune is like a song you like, but if you pull up to a red light and this song's blasting, the window goes up.
You would not want other people to know.
You roll the window up.
You're a tool. That is the tool tune.
Can you tell me what we're having here?
Those are dirty fries.
You're not Izzy. Where the hell's Izzy?
Is he still here?
Those are giant.
You got giant, yeah.
No wonder we're all obese in America. Look at the size of these dirty fries.
Jesus.
Yes. Wow.
Dirty fries. It's a hit!
Sorry. You won't be humming it on the way home, folks.
Yeah. All right, do we have another title for you?
I'm sorry, Adam. It's your show. I'm so happy to be here. But I don't have...
Don't chew in the microphone.
I will chew in the microphone.
That's going to be disgusting for the listeners at
home. He needs
home.
Utensils.
I don't have a setup.
I've worked in the
industry, just so you know.
Did you?
I did.
What did you do?
I've worked at every position in a restaurant.
Me too.
Thank you.
I started as a dishwasher.
I've done every job, including manager of a restaurant.
Really?
Which restaurants and
well,
tell
many.
Us
thank you for asking. there it is. Can we get a couple of plates, serviettes, No, that's napkins.
So what is...
Plattos. A couple of plattos. What is this? Shrimp pasta.
We said no pasta.
Don't.
What part
Some
of
we don't like? Mike Doggus will eat it.
Steal it.
Isn't this way better than getting tips?
Yeah.
Sure. Yes. All right. I'm sorry.
You started out.
Okay.
Started as a DJ. Hey, buddy, do your due diligence. So welcome to stage, Jim Kettner. All right. You start out as...
All right. When I was 15, I worked for my Uncle Emil in Tipton, Missouri at Emil's gas station and cafe. So... There, it was an actual gas station.
They pump gas. It wasn't just really bad chili.
Beer joint, burgers, fries, steaks, everything, onion rings, dirty onion rings.
Right.
We had all of it. So, I was 15, so part of my job is I would have to wait on tables, bus tables, cook, and pump gas.
Wow.
So, you would sometimes be cooking in the grill behind the bar. Then, remember when you used to have full-service gas stations... There was an air hose that would ding, right?
Yeah, but you're in Missouri. I'm from North Hollywood.
Okay.
When we built, like, a Shell station in 1971, it came with a super angry air guy who held up a huge piece of bulletproof glass and yelled, "What is?" And then I'd yell, and then I'd go, the thing, I like the voice of God, but the angry voice of God, where you're like, "What? Pump threes does not work! I'm at pump. You know, I guess it's a pump six. It's a pump C." And the guy just started fucking yelling at you through the glass. We didn't have that. We didn't have a happy childhood like you did. What I'm saying is, we didn't have Gomer and Opie,
okay,
and Floyd, all right, and all the rest of the guys come running
I'm
out.
I'm being made fun of here.
No, you're not.
I'm from a small town. I had a bucolic childhood.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Right. I didn't have that. I grew up in North Hollywood.
Too much for me.
Yeah.
Still chewing.
That's all right.
I'll bet the restroom wasn't just for customers, right, Dave? Anyone could probably come up and use the restroom.
It was we're a small town, so people can come in. We're friendly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right. Sounds great.
In fact, there was a sign, "Come on in, shit here."
Wow. Unfortunately, it was in front of the kitchen, and the health inspector did not share the same sense of humor that your uncle did, evidently.
It closed down shortly thereafter.
So you pumped gas, you flipped burgers.
Waiter tables, bus tables, cooked, did prep. That's early. That's at 15, so I'm damn near through every job in a restaurant anyway.
Right.
But as time went on, I worked at a bunch of different places in college, sous chef. Prep cook, kitchen manager of a Mexican restaurant, bartender, waiting tables. Anyway, this story is not.
I can see my kids. I can see my kids right now, like on some stage right now, like 22 years from now, going, "When I was 37, I fed the dog once." Yeah. And
it was by accident. I dropped something on the floor.
Yeah, he just was there. Yeah. I could do that and watch TV at the same time. So
I started as a dishwasher at 16, and I will say that is the worst job in the world. It's the worst job in the universe. There's no question.
It's bad.
It's
worse than like the job of the guy who has to burn corpses at the crematorium. It's worse than that.
Well,
that
it's weird.
That has dignity.
That's the worst job ever for 99.9% of us. But the 0.1% of us who loves it has a boner the entire time. They're burning corpses. So if you can find that guy.
Yeah. There is one guy that really...
The pyro necrophiliac. He loves it.
He invites his friends over.
Yeah.
"Hey, you want to see me burn one?" Because, folks, the human body has a lot of fat. That thing.
Because of the dirty fries.
Right. Yeah. You guys like the Doors? Come on over. Let me fire this up. All right. So, it's the worst job ever. I agree. It's a horrible job.
I was really sad by the job, and once I went out to get a Coke at the Coke dispenser. It was a seafood restaurant in Edmonds, Washington, and they're like, "Get out of here. You're the dishwasher." And I was like, "Can I get a Coke?" And they're like, "We'll bring you a Coke. Just order from the wait staff." And so then I was like,
So I found a wait staff, and I was like, can I have a Coca-Cola, please? And he's like, sure, I'll get you a Coca-Cola. And he brought me back a Coca-Cola with a giant green bean in it. He put a green bean in my Coca-Cola. And you know what? I was so thirsty, I was like, fuck it. And I threw out the green bean, and I drank the Coke.
I kind of like that guy. I'm sure he's doing... I do.
Was that you? That was you!
I never worked. I worked at McDonald's, and I never got to work the register. I just worked the grill, and I'd get have to do a sweep and a mop of the dining area. But they never let me interact with any of the customers. Just sat behind the grill. And first off, like I think every job is sort of like when time passes the slowest. Like washing dishes is a very slow passage of time. Standing in front of what's basically like four manhole covers that are on fire and just sitting there, and your cuticles would smell like onions for day. And I love food so much, I would just sniff my right hand and beat off with my left when I got home. It works with girls and perfume too, but I like Big Macs. Who amongst us has not done the weird perfume?
And onion rings?
Oh, onion rings, yeah. Dial it in. Find the combo. Yes.
Can that somehow be in the movie?
Where he sniffs his cuticles and...
Well, no, that goes to his best friend, the comic relief buddy, played by Josh Gad.
Yes!
Brilliant.
Good luck rhyming cuticle, but please, I like where you're heading with this.
So he's a great singer.
He is.
Josh Gad, hysterical human being.
Oh, yeah.
But he'd be the great for the chubby best friend.
Yeah.
Right.
That's also, Mark Wahlberg, who has a food masturbation obsession.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this song is called That's Not Ranch.
I want to... And it sounds like a ballad to me.
Where are my goddamn tacos?
Hold on, is that part of the song, or are you talking the way... Because that's another song.
Where are my goddamn tacos? But picture Josh Gad singing it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. All right. So I like the fact, by the way, it's an interesting thing. You know how the street tacos are all the fad now? Like the little mini ones with the doubled up?
I love those things.
I was a pioneer on the vanguard of street tacos, because when I was 16 and 17 and all through like high school and beyond, we would make Tijuana runs, and we'd go to Tijuana. You probably shouldn't say Tijuana and runs, right?
You'd make Tijuana squirts.
Excursions, yes. We would go to Tijuana and always eat the street tacos in Tijuana, but that was circa, 1984.
Were they selling churros back then for like 10 cents or whatever they're actually worth?
They sold chiclets.
Okay.
And the thing that was crazy about chiclets is...
Chiclet.
Must have had some sort of meeting at a soccer stadium in Tijuana in like 1974 and went, you know what Americans love? Miniature gum, super like minuscule sized pieces of gum where you have to really take 35 or 40 actual chiclets like, to form one piece of like Trident.
Like postage stamp small?
No, Jose, you're not, I tell you, think small.
Okay. All right.
I'm talking like about the size of a lizard's tooth.
Oh.
And a small lizard.
Not a Komodo dragon.
Think small, Jose.
All right, we're going small.
All right, now, what we're going to do, because evidently they can't get these in the States. Now, look, Roberto, you, last meeting with the Plaster of Paris bust E.T. Plaster of Paris bust of an E.T. with the Prussian helmet on top of him.
See?
That was an excellent idea. That thing's selling nicely.
See?
Because all the drunk people that are leaving our town need a souvenir.
See?
And they've never seen one of these before. But the chiclets, they can't get those in the United States.
No?
So what I'm going to need to do is I'm going to need to get a whole bunch of 5-year-old girls, and I need to dress them like flamenco dancers.
See?
And then they will sell these things at a markup, obviously, at a markup to all the blue-eyed devils who roll across, who come here solely just to get miniature cups.
See.
Yes. So that's what happens at Tijuana.
That's what happens.
You can get you can also get the street tacos, which we used to partake in liberally, but no, everyone made fun of us back then because, like, you're insane. You're eating that shit off the sidewalk. And then you'd go to a place called Margarita's Village. Anybody?
Yeah, I've been there.
You've been there?
Yeah, I'm still around in the late 90s.
Yeah, you go. Nobody here's been to Margarita's Village? Okay. You go. All right.
It's well
known.
Adam. Yeah. They are in Oxnard.
Yes.
They are in heaven. Why the fuck would you leave?
Why would you ever leave?
Why would you leave the comfort of a bull's balls?
Let me answer that question, Dave. You know that you get in the hot tub with the wife sometimes.
Sure,
you have a cold drink.
You.
You're full moon. You're relaxing. You listen to a little Frank Sinatra on the indoor-outdoor speakers, all-season speakers. But after about 40 minutes, you're like, I've ceased to really enjoy this because I've acclimated. What you need to do is do a header into a snowbank and then run back and jump in and appreciate it. Tijuana is your snowbank, Oxnard.
Yep.
You go into Tijuana for a couple days. You come back here, you fucking kiss the ground. You understand? Oh, you're all complaining about the taxes and about the cops and about the municipalities. Go to TJ for a couple days. Come back.
Okay, I want to say something
yes.
in all seriousness. I was just in Tijuana, and this is very serious. It gets a really bad reputation for the way it used to be in the 80s and 90s. It's a really nice town now. There's restaurants. No, there's an incredible, like, foodie restaurant scene.
Really?
And there's cultural stuff. There's, like, art galleries and lots of young,
this
like,
is an E.T. with a Prussian helmet on it. Yep. You're right.
Yep.
You can't even find
transformed.
You can't even find
street tacos in Tijuana anymore.
I don't. You can't find your tacos either.
Where are my tacos?
This place is the worst. They're out of snot rockets, Rain. I told you.
It's not that hard if there's a beef taco and a pork taco and a chicken taco. Like, just make...
You ordered off the menu, friend.
All right.
Rain fell asleep and woke up in La Jolla.
All right, Adam.
They all speak English. There's a giant orca whale that lives in a huge aquarium.
The average house is like $1-2 million.
Oh, look at them.
Adam.
They open an improv out here. That's awesome. Tijuana improv.
You know how in movies...
Yes.
There's an A story and a B story?
Yes.
Can the Tijuana Taco Run be the B story?
I'm going to the strip club. I've forgotten all about the tacos. And listen, I'm sure Tijuana's awesome now. I don't like that it's awesome now. I like it to be Tijuana.
Do you like the old Times Square?
I like the old Times Square.
Old
I like
Vegas.
The peep shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd go there, and I remember me and Jimmy went up to one of the peep shows in Times Square, and we were looking through the thing at the chick, and she had a stroller and a bale of diapers sitting behind her. And it's like, hey, man, you got to throw some Duvetine over that shit. Like, I don't need to be thinking about your kids at home. I'm sitting with the pedophile uncle while I'm over here trying to see if I can get my cock hard enough to hold up an onion ring. Sorry. So I like the old, yeah. I don't want to live there. I just want to know that it's there in case I want to go there. Yeah. And Margarita's Village is the place where you'd go down these really steep stairs and you'd sit in the basement of this place off of Revolution Street. And they had all of their waiters and waitresses dressed up like on roller skates. It's like old-timey prison guards. Prison guards, the scariest guy on the planet, but not when they're old-timey. When they got the weird stripes.
And
they're on roller skates. Yeah, I guess that makes everyone sort of approachable.
They should give all prison guards roller skates.
They should. Yeah, like a sock hop, you know, like a restaurant like from the 50s.
Like a Sonic.
Yeah, it's just where they have trays.
It'd be a good musical number.
Uh-oh. Let's hear it.
Hold on. Is there a C story to this? Are we still in the same movie?
I
Because now we have a former prospect who's an assassin with a sad child story, and there's a chiclets factory in Mexico.
Yeah.
And also our hero and his best buddy, who beats off with his left hand, decide to make one run down to TJ. But then we get mixed up with this prison group of Waitron.
I think we got the next song title, which is It's Not Weird If You're Left-Handed. And everyone will kind of know what that means.
The tacos just arrived. Young lady, what's your name again? Haley's here with tacos.
They look amazing.
Haley, what do we have? Can you tell us?
So we got the carnitas taco.
One moment, young lady.
No worries. So we got the carnitas taco. All right,
hold on. Let me translate. That's Spanish for chiclets.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And we got a chicken taco.
That's Spanish for chiclets.
Okay. And then we got a mignon taco.
That's chiclets in Spanish.
And then we got a kimchi pork taco.
Kimchi.
Pork belly.
Oh.
That is kimchi. Fancy. That's just kimchi.
That's Korean.
There's no translation.
My second question is, where the fuck is Izzy?
She was let go.
We've had about 6 or 7 waiters.
I think she was fired. She went home in tears because I yelled at her.
She has a lot of tables.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
She's got one main table. maybe you guys should have dedicated a waiter to the main stage, but that's fine.
Next time?
But that's fine.
I've just been invited back.
We're not going to eat all these. Does someone want some?
You guys want some fries?
You want some?
This guy actually put his hand up. He does want the fries.
That guy over there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
Wow.
You know, I think we may have jumped the shark calorically when they started just handing over the entire skillet.
Yeah.
Like, because Denny's used to make you breakfast and then transfer it onto a plate. Now everything just comes in its own crock pot. Yeah. Like, get the extension cord, Rob. We got to plug this thing in. Here you go. Here's the skillet. There's a crock pot. Let's just, we tore up the pantry and we're just literally dropping it off in front of your table. Like, this is a skillet of fries. This isn't a plate of fries. This is the Mary Mac and the Monitor of fries. Sorry,
I went deep there. It's a Civil War
reference, gang. It means chiclets in Spanish. Sorry.
God, that was a good battle that night, the Mary Mac and the Monitor.
Yeah, this will be the D story.
God,
what did that sound like if it was put to music?
Because Mark Wahlberg's great, 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 great grandfather was on the Merrimack.
Yeah.
And his great, 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 great uncle was on the Monitor the same night.
By the way, first off, Monitor doesn't sound like a ship of war. It sounds like a night nurse. Yeah. You know what I mean? What do you do? Well, I'm not allowed to touch the patients, but I
observe.
I watch the equipment, and if there's like a power outage, I go and get somebody who's certified. Like the Monitor. The fuck kind of name is that for a ship of war? Also, you never want to be in the first. This is like the first battle of ironclad ships. And it's always the longest, it kills the most people, and somebody fucking drowns. Mm. You don't want to be in the first. So Mary Mac, what is Mac's battle? Look up the Mary Mac and the Monitor. We'll figure this one out. But it was the first time they clad the ships in iron, and then they sat at each other, and they just kept firing until everyone died.
No one heard a thing after that night. No one that worked the ship.
Oh, okay. All right. But
was it that puzzling?
Mark, we thought you were breaking into song.
I haven't heard a word after the night of the Mary Mac Monitor. Interesting, too, though, that it both started with an M.
Alliteration. Did not take a vacation when they named those noble vessels.
It was not a starry, starry night. Monitor Mary Mac that night. Shells bouncing off with delight. Mary Mac in the monitor. Boom, boom, go the shells. All I hear are ringing bells. Oxnard means cow's balls. Starry, starry, hard on onion rings.
Wow, you deserve a fry. You deserve a fry for that.
We got to work Gina into the show. We're up here.
Yeah, Gina. Well, come
I'm
on, you can sing.
I'm having a great fucking time.
That was Vincent by, who did we say that
was from? Don McLean.
Don McLean.
Two hits.
Two hit wonder.
Right. He had American Pie and he had that song. But also, didn't we pull up his rap sheet once?
Don McLean? We did, because he had a little trouble with the wife.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he was a wife beater? He had such a gentle voice.
Well, hold on. Sorry. Whoa. Watch how he said.
Did I jump?
Not was a wife beater. Is a wife beater. He's still alive. Please. You're. It's really offensive.
Okay,
to
I'm
have
sorry.
You come up here with that I'm kind sorry. Of hate speak. I think he's still alive, and I think he got he had like a great drunken, insane wife beating story.
Do you know that you can't call those shirts wife beaters anymore?
Oh,
I
know.
Yeah.
I know.
The European cut.
Fuck you, actual wife beaters. Yeah. For not allowing us to call the shirts wife beaters.
Yeah.
As if your crime wasn't bad right. enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we have to
it
not
ruined
call
it
the shirt.
For all of the sleeveless t-shirt wearers out there. Mm. The Marlon Brando's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone else who wears that.
Vin Diesel.
The Vin Diesels.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And nothing looks better with the Italian horn, the gold Italian right. horn chain. Yeah. That's actually a chain that if you put on a blazer, it ruins it. You need just the wife beater, right?
I wish those horns would make a comeback.
I do, too.
They're antelope. They were antelope horns.
It kind of looks like the one sperm.
Yeah, the Italian horn.
Yeah.
You know what I don't like? They need a publicist because about 9 years ago, puka shells kind of made a comeback.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So their publicist figured
Thanks
it
to
out.
Matthew McConaughey.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah. They brought back puka shells. They never brought back the Italian horn. You guys know what the Italian horn is? Yeah. It's also
more people know what an Italian horn is than they know the Merrimack and the Monitor. But yeah. that's fine.
It is a very sad state of affairs that one of them is a piece of costume jewelry a guy in Glendale cooked up in 1977 for people who are high on coke. And he probably gave one to John Travolta. And he just... Yep. I think John Travolta ushered this in.
The era.
Yeah,
yeah he ushered this in. The Merrimack and the Monitor is like one of the most historical naval battles ever, and no one's fucking heard of it except for me and poor Kechner. Sad. I don't even like the Civil War. That's a shit war. I base every war on what the airplanes look like. Not down... with the French Indian one.
No airplanes in the Civil War? Like, not even, like, gliders?
No, they had dirigibles. And by the way, and they had dirigibles in World War One too. And they didn't have them in Civil. They had them in World War... They probably tried, but they had... Can you imagine going up in a blimp in World War One? Imagine, like, look, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something sleek that cheats the wind that offers almost no opportunity for...
Gunfire.
For gunfire. All right. I have something that's bigger than a manatee and moves like a tree sloth. Now, don't worry.
I'll take it.
You'll be in a wicker basket underneath it. And it's super flammable. Now, here's the thing. It's so fucking big that people celebrating New Year's Eve 20 years from now may still hit this thing when they fire it up. That's just how unmissable it is. The idea that somebody said, this is going to be our form of transportation. And it's like, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to float over enemy lines. We're going to take pictures. And then we're going to drop bombs out of our Easter basket on them. And then someone had to go, or a blind guy... from the other side of the trench could simply fire somewhere in the air and it would surely hit this huge balloon that's above us. That had to be I just can't even imagine why they would do that. But God bless Goodyear, because even after the Hindenburg, they're still going. We got to sell tires. They're like, we need a blimp, and they had to be like, I don't know. How the hell's Pirelli do it without a blimp? Don't bring them into this.
Nothing says tires like a giant floating.
Right. Yeah, we need something that doesn't make contact.
Balloon.
We need something that doesn't make contact with pavement. Yeah. Because nothing screams tires like floating over the highway.
Yeah.
Back to irony. Now, if you don't mind my interjecting, how are the tacos?
You know, they're pretty good.
They're good.
Were they worth the wait?
No.
Okay.
No.
We'll yelp that.
Dave, was this the dinner you envisioned with Adam and or Rain?
Did we even set up that story? No, we didn't. Gina, will you set up the story, please? We need to include
Gina
you.
Will set
well,
up.
I'll just say personally, it was one of the most uncomfortable days of my life. I was sitting in between Rain and Adam, and they thought they would pull a little trick on their friend Dave.
It was February 2 years ago, right?
Oh, you remember the day.
Well, I know it was February. Because I happened to be in my office, and I was looking at the calendar when Rain Wilson called me, but I'm already ahead of the story. So when did your television show, when you're a detective...
Get canceled?
No. We all know it got canceled. But, when was... It was just debuting in February of...
That's right.
Of 20...
Two years and 3 months ago or something. No, is that right? I can't remember the years all blur.
Okay, so 2 years ago, February, Adam Carolla you do a podcast, is that right, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And you're having the wonderful Rain Wilson on. He's talking about his show.
Why are we getting feedback?
I
that's not a good thing for a podcast.
I know.
All right, wait, let's try.
I think
are you doing ship noises?
I'm going to stand over here. Go ahead, Gina.
The Merrimack and the
monitor.
Go ahead, Gina.
So, Gina, go ahead.
Oh, no, I believe Rain called you first, correct?
So they're doing the
podcast. Adam called him first, I think.
The conversation started when Adam and Rain were talking about, don't we all have that one person who you're supposed to have dinner with, but it kept getting pushed off, and you both had the same person?
Right. Yeah. For me, it's Bill Cosby. On the sink. He's bumping.
It's also a never sleepover. In town.
This is a group effort. All the characters are present.
Go ahead.
So you thought you'd play a little joke on Dave. Unassuming, nicest guy at home doing, crocheting, needle pointing. And you
beating off on onion rings. Go ahead.
Yep. You gave him a call and asked him to dinner. Right?
Yeah, and I set a specific date, right?
Yeah,
was it
can you
do March 17th or something like that?
And Dave was
February,
overjoyed.
But go ahead.
He was overjoyed. Your heart was warm, and you agreed to go.
He picked a date. I said, "You know what? I'm looking at my calendar right now. That date is open. Let's do it."
Should we play the clip, Chris?
Do you have it? Oh, this is
Chris. Do I need to set up anymore? Okay, we'll play the actual phone call.
I love it.
Okay,
and then you can shut my mic off, and I'll eat some dessert in a little bit.
Hello.
Hey, Dave. It's Rain Wilson. I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic, thank you.
You know, I've just been thinking, sorry to call you out of the blue, I've just been thinking about how we've always talked about getting the wives together for dinner. It's like for years. And I'm just wondering if next week you guys want to get together. Let me see here about the 20th.
Right now it's open.
Wow.
I don't have anything on my calendar.
That would be so cool. That would be so cool.
All right.
Hey, listen, I'm just seeing that this guy's at my door. I gotta hop off real quick. Can I call you back just in a few minutes and we'll just kinda confirm some details?
Got it.
Okay, I'm gonna call you back in just a second. Sorry, man. Someone's at the door.
He's already lying. All right, go ahead.
All right. Then I decided to call.
Good.
You're a really good actor.
That was good.
Yeah.
Do the same thing.
Hey.
Hey, David, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm great.
Good. Are you working? What's going on?
Today, I'm just writing.
Ah.
Worked a little bit last week.
Yeah, I was talking to someone about this, and we're always talking about like getting together with the wives and going out to dinner and all that stuff, and I just thought, you know what? At some point, I got to pick up the phone.
I love it.
And I just thought, you're at the top of my list. I don't know what the wives. I know Lynette's probably around, but you got a date that works coming up? I'm just checking my calendar.
Can I just tell you an incredibly coincidental story that happened 3 minutes ago? Rainn Wilson just called me and said, you know, we've been talking for years about getting the wives together for dinner. Do you
the office guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He does a Backstorm, too, or something now, right, on Fox?
He called 3 minutes ago and said, when are we getting the wives together? Let's pick a date. So I said Friday the 20th, because that's the next one coming up.
Jesus Christ.
That is so goddamn funny. No,
well,
Rain
sounds like a great guy, but you and I kind of go back, you know. I mean, because the 20th was what I was kind of looking at it too. You think
that is so fucking funny?
We do lunch with Rain and do dinner with me and Lynette. You know, he's more of like a brunch guy. Like have like eggs a la Fizdale or something with Rain and his old lady, and then step up to some steak with the Corollas.
Oh shit!
Well, I'm picking a date, and I'm going with the 20th.
But I already told him the 20th.
Oh, you know, first off, these fucking celebrities are all high. You could call them back. Like, tell them you rolled an ankle or something, you know? So check with Lee. Give my love to Sarge. And let's go for the 20th.
Okay.
All right. Love you, buddy.
Okay, buddy.
Then Rain called back?
Oh, it doesn't end there.
Yep.
I call my wife in the meantime going, you're not going to believe what just happened.
Of course, we're sitting in a studio together in Glendale. Do you have the next
Dave,
one?
Dave, hey, man. Sorry about that.
No worries.
No, they were delivering some horse food, hay and stuff. It's crazy. So, anyway, going back to the 20th, we good?
I think so. I got to confirm with Lee.
Okay. All right.
Let me call her. And then I've got to go to Sergeant's football practice. Now, but then,
Sergeant who?
I'll let you my son, Sergeant.
Oh, Sergeant. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm teasing you. I knew that.
All right. We'll figure this out.
All right. Yeah, just get back to me.
All right, we'll do.
Awesome. I love you.
I love you.
Bye-bye.
So then I called back?
Yeah. Then you called back and tried to also. All right. Let's listen.
That's all you got, Max Bata? Oh.
You don't have the end of the movie?
Anyway.
Where Mark Wahlberg throws the nuclear football?
Yeah.
Through the DMZ.
So I call my wife and say, wow, this is really weird. She goes, yeah, whatever. Then I head out, because I did have to take my son to flag football practice. These pricks called back to let me off the hook. Because of something, they started feeling guilty. They're like, oh, shit. I feel terrible about it.
I did, because you're so nice.
I know, but in my mind, I was going to fix it anyway. In my mind, I was like, well, fuck it. I'm going to have everybody come out to dinner together. Since you were the 20th and Rain was the 20th, I thought, that'll be easy. We'll all have fun. I'll introduce you two guys is what I'm thinking in my head.
Yeah, sure. Little do you know that neither one of us wants to go out to dinner with you.
2 years later, Mike August calls and says, hey, can we get you on Corolla again? We're going to do a show out there in Coxnard. And I said, I'll do it under one condition. You get Rain Wilson on the goddamn show. And you
Wait. I was sloppy seconds on this podcast?
No, I was
Wait
not...
a minute. This was supposed to be an Adam Carolla, Dave Koechner thing, and
no.
I was...
And I said,
I got shoehorned into the.
Yeah,
this
I
is
said
bullshit.
The only.
Oh.
Wait, no, please.
Oh,
come
no,
back.
Don't,
please.
Don't. You can't eat
please,
tacos
sit down,
and leave
sit
it
down.
Mad. Oh.
And the Merrimack took on the monitor. There were shells that night.
That was like a WWE moment.
That was.
The fake storm off.
Threw
and
a napkin at me. I said good day. You know, I'm watching you two eat each other's dessert.
Yeah.
And
is that a euphemism?
I just realized. We should just call it what it is, because that's what I do. If I go out to eat and my wife gets the cheesecake and I get the creme brulee, we then eat across the table at each other. So it's like when I'm asked for my dessert order, I should just go, what do you want?
They're doing it honeymoon style.
Oh, the honeymoon style.
I love you, Dave.
I love you too. All right. Should we do a little?
That's very sweet.
Should we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Let's do a little news. Oh.
Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets.
Are
you going to have someone do audio commentary of what happened with the podcast?
They were making out.
This is the Cowsill song you were talking about.
The news with Gina Grad.
Wait, so I don't know if you guys know what's going on over at the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland, but
yes.
They have announced plans to change up the ride at its theme parks, losing the wench auction.
Oh, they're getting rid of the rape-go-round?
Yes.
In favor of a more politically correct depiction, for over 50 years, the iconic ride has included a scene featuring animatronic women being sold in an auction under a banner that reads, "Auction, take a wench for a bride." The scene is getting a little PC makeover with a new banner.
Call it PC. It's offensive, and it should have been changed
a long time ago.
It's
charming.
It is not charming. So
how am I going to teach my daughter not to be fat? They didn't want... The fat one was chasing the guy around. Do you want to...
Just don't give her dirty fries. All right, Gina.
Well, according to Keckner over here and his other Hollywood buddies, maybe we shouldn't have the white on top of the Matterhorn. Yeah. Maybe that's too not inclusive enough. Maybe we need all the colors of the rainbow
it's
on top of the Matterhorn.
You're absolutely right. And also, in the jungle ride, fucking, that's another one that should be taken down. Good God. There's so much offensive shit going on at Disneyland. I'm surprised it hasn't been burned down.
But Keckner's not going to sleep until Disneyland is turned into an AIDS hospice.
You know what? That's not a bad idea.
What would that be in?
I'd rather it was a refugee camp.
Yeah. The Yeti is white, too. We should have multicultural Yetis. Yetis of all colors of the rainbow.
Intersectional.
I agree.
Abominable snowman in the Matterhorn. Yeah.
Couldn't see a white. You can't see a wife beater on a Yeti. It's like my grandpa always used to say. Sorry.
All right, Gina. So sorry.
So they changed the banner. It's going to read, "Auction, surrender your loot." And one thing that will remain the same is the fan favorite, the redhead. The animatronic redhead that gets sold. Now she'll be in charge. I think we have a picture of her. She's really taking matters into her own hands. She has a rifle. Yeah. She has an Annie Oakley vibe.
She has a penis now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, exactly.
Look at this guy. Look at that guy.
Yeah.
Like Keckner, I feel that's a role that you and I would both audition for.
Yeah. How miserable is Johnny Depp, like every 3 years where they force him to get in the Jack Sparrow outfit and stand there and surprise everybody? How fucking miserable is Johnny Depp for that 2 hours of his life?
Extremely.
Yes.
Well, the good news is he can be drunk in that role and no one would know the difference.
That's true. Yeah.
You think Johnny's like, I'm doing this for 14 minutes and not a second longer?
He has a heart out.
Yeah.
I feel like he probably lights a cigarette, takes one draw off it, sets it in the back, and goes, if I fucking get back there and that thing's out, I've been here too fucking long. Yeah. Now, where's Amber Heard? I need to throw an ashtray at her.
I also actually...
Now, I'm not talking Ass Johnny. That's me. Yeah. Where is she?
I heard that he actually goes to those premieres, and he spends hours going up and down the line, and he doesn't stop till everyone gets...
But that's not an insulting depiction of him.
I know.
Okay, that's the truth. We're not interested in the truth. We're interested in attacking people who make money.
He takes half the audience back to his AIDS hospice shows them around.
Why don't you and your Hollywood friends get on your Pegasus that runs off good vibes? I'll be at the Disneyland with the God-fearing Christians over there.
Pushing the Sisyphean rock back up the hill for humanity.
Sisyphean
monitor.
You can't say Sisyphean on an Adam Carolla podcast.
Yeah.
Come on.
We talked about the Mary Magna Monitor as well.
Yeah.
I can't. You know, we can look it up. Okay. So Sisyphus.
Sisyphus.
Had to push a rock up a hill every day. Now, some people think it was about marriage. No.
All right,
congratulations.
That'd be a good movie, Sisyphus. Sorry.
Congratulations, New York City. It has been named the most rat and roach infested city in the country.
Oh.
Not that we didn't know. 16% of households in New York reported.
See, now what's Tijuana got?
Well, in the country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
They could have their own thing.
Oh, so they can go international. Right. Okay, good.
16% of households in New York reported having roaches. 15% have rodents.
Oh, my God. I thought it was all in one house. I just thought it was just one small walk-up.
One hoarder.
I had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
A rat or a roach has never done anything bad to me yet. I do want them destroyed. I had no problem with ladybugs and butterflies and anything that looks pretty. It's horrible, right? Is a rat or a roach?
They carry disease. Rats.
We say that all the time. People carry disease too. Yeah. I don't want all of them killed. Handful. I'm not going to single out any religions or anything of that nature.
Ideologies, yeah.
But by bringing that sentence up, you. But what I'm
saying is,
okay.
Yeah, but we do.
I'm not in agreement. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, like whenever I see the lone ant, I decide he's a scout and he's got to be killed. But maybe he's just a drunken drifter, lone wolf, hobo ant. Like, maybe he's an ant that doesn't get along with the rest of the colony, and they're like, hey, drones, over here. My name is Art. I'm going to walk through a huge kitchen. Thing.
Probably going to take a day or two.
Right. And then a giant slipper steps on. So what I'm saying is I know we do the thing with the roaches and the mice and the rats carrying disease and everything, but I don't know. I just feel like it's a cop-out. We're just killing them because they're unattractive.
You know, my son is 12, and he has, like, that head filled with disgusting facts. And he says, like, every year, every average New Yorker eats something like 97 cockroaches.
Yeah, and my thing is...
Because I used to work in a restaurant.
Sure,
in a restaurant.
We all have. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was an espresso machine, an automatic one, and it was filled with cockroaches. And they would pour out the espresso, and then we would just take our fingers and take the little legs and
throw them out. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. More gushy fries? More gushy fries. Anybody? We're good? You need another steel drum filled with carbs, or are we good with that? No? Nothing? Nothing. Yeah, I'm sure we do. My feeling is like, why? You just can't think about it. That's all.
Yeah.
You have to pretend.
But bug protein is the future. It's where it's all at.
Angelina Jolie takes field trips, brings all her kids, and feeds them salamanders and cockroaches and stuff. You don't remember that?
Yeah. She put on a little cooking demonstration.
Yeah. It's got to suck having her for your mom. Like, one minute, you're sitting in 30,000 square foot of air-conditioned Bel Air suite, and the next thing you know, you're just out in the sand somewhere.
You're in the Congo eating a
salamander.
I'll bet you she gets a front-of-the-line pass at Disneyland.
Oh. Have you ever paid for that?
Got it free once.
Really?
The fast pass.
What happened? How'd you pull that off? It cost me like $500 an hour.
It's ridiculously expensive.
Hold on. I would like a montage of chicks explaining to guys it was worth it. Like, it was a good deal. Like, the first would just be all weddings. It'd be like, $8,000 for flowers? It's a good deal.
Ours was
$6,000. It is? It's a good... How is that a good deal? Like, are we going to sell these to 100 different weddings for $1,000 a piece?
Well, they were twice as much next year?
Did you pay $8,000 at your wedding for flowers?
I remember the number being quoted, and I went like, holy shit, that's like my parents' three cars added up when I was a kid, didn't make it to this number. And then she paused and said, that's a really good deal. The Sultan of Brunei's kid... I could spend $50,000. Like, they always pick someone who makes a shitload of money and then tells you how bad it could be.
We paid $6,000, and I'm thinking it better be a fucking forest in this church. Everybody better be sneezing. And when I'm walking down the aisle, there's a couple flowers on every pew, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
I mean, I'm mad on my wedding day because I paid $6,000
I was there. This is all part of the vows, but if you could just recite a little of that in your vow, or maybe sing it. I don't know. But, I mean, yeah, you were thinking that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was trying to think of the song now. If it's going to be... So we did an up-tempo one. We did a ballad. Well, what's another type of...
Like a rap rock, like Limp Bizkit?
Oh, God, I guess so. Not enough flowers.
Not Yeah.
But Gina's in the middle of
the other, okay. The other one is the dress was $2,300, but don't worry, our daughter will wear it when she gets married in 31 years.
Can
By the way, you want to wear a garment covered with dad's jizz down the... I mean...
That's a celebration. Why is that a bad thing? I'm happy that...
They consummated.
Yeah, I
just...
You're
so excited.
It's never going to happen. But anyway, the good news is it's the gift that keeps giving because they put it in a box and then they have to store it somewhere, like inside of Mount Cheyenne or something, and it costs $89 a year just to store it. Like they put it in a fucking huge humidor.
God forbid one of the aforementioned rats gets to it.
That's right. Right? That's right.
It's all done.
Sorry.
Well, speaking of weddings, the New York Post recently featured a story about a new trend where brides are demanding that their bridesmaids lose weight and go to bridal boot camp before the wedding to ensure that their pictures will look good. This includes women who just gave birth as well. The bridezillas are also demanding that bridesmaids put in hair extensions and are forbidden to wear swimsuits leading up to the big day to avoid any unsightly tan lines.
First off,
makes sense.
Yeah.
Fuck hair extensions.
It's reasonable.
Somebody's got to invent tooth extensions. I would watch that. I'm weird. There's nothing hotter than a tan line. Mm. I fucking love a tan line.
Even on a bridesmaid?
There's nothing but. Yeah.
Check this one out.
Whoa.
That's sexy.
Slow down.
What do you think?
You lifting all those tacos. Lifting all those soft tacos, giving you quite a hard pump. Wow, man. No, don't you remember like the old Playboys from the 70s and stuff?
Yeah,
the chick would have the tan line. And
tan line.
The reason it was good is because you got to see where the bathing suit left off. Like when you saw him just in the James Bond film or the Go-Go Dancers or
so
whatever it is.
You had to use your imagination a little bit.
Yeah.
Your imagination. Why can't
you guys don't like a tan line?
Love it.
Yeah, well, everybody cool with that?
Love it, Brian. Yeah good. It's good, right?
Guys,
yeah.
Like
it's nostalgic.
Remember how hard it was to get porn in the 70s?
Oh, my God.
I had to work so hard to get, like, one half a magazine.
I would have to fucking go to a field and lay on my back until a cloud took the form of a titty. That's all we had. That's all we had.
I would use my Etch-a-Sketch. That was my porn.
I would go behind the couch with a Spiegel catalog. They had the most lingerie. Do you remember Spiegel?
Spiegel
catalog. Tons of lingerie. Like Sears catalogs had a little bit, but the racy business was Spiegel. You're like, yeah, I'm going to crawl behind the couch. Like, what are my parents like? What the fuck are you doing behind the couch?
With a Spiegel catalog.
The Spiegel catalog.
The first porn movie I ever saw, my buddy Ray's older brother, Rob, had a, like, 8mm reel-to-reel whatever, black and white, you know. And my grandparents were out of town, and we took it into their bedroom, and we, I know, it's weird. We showed it. They had, like, a white lacquer... A cabinet that kept, you know, a bureau that kept all the drawers. And if you shut all the drawers, it just made a solid white, you know, 2 foot by 4 foot, whatever. And we put the projector and we projected it off of my grandparents' chest of drawers. And by the way, one of my first jokes is at some point I pulled my grandpa's, like, sock drawer out and I yelled, 3D.
Remember one of your first jokes. That's so cute.
I was there. My first joke was when I was like 7 and my Hungarian grandfather was serving up goulash. And I said, what is goulash? What does that mean? And he's from Budapest. And he's like, goulash sort of means like cowboy stew. Like it means cowboy essentially. And I said, oh, so when you're a kid, you play goulash and Indians? And they're like, that's not that bad for a 7-year-old.
That's
and then,
good.
You know, a scant. 9 years later, I was making my 3D joke. But because there were like 6 dudes, you couldn't take care of business there in sure. Nana's bedroom.
So awkward.
But later on, I got hold of the black and white movie, and I was in my bathroom back in North Hollywood, and I was holding up an 8mm. Now, they're like 25 millimeters in an inch or 24 and something, so like 8 is like a quarter, it's like 5/16 or something, and it's black and white, and I was holding this little square.
It's like looking at a grain of rice.
Yeah.
With a naked woman drawn on it.
By the way, it was a John Holmes film, and his cock was still bigger. Even in this shrunken form, it's still
dwarfed. We had a guy in our school who would rent us porn magazines.
Wow.
He was an entrepreneur. For 25 cents a week, you could rent like weird ones like Cherry.
Or whatever. There was weird. Yeah,
there was weird like French.
Yes,
like,
yes. There was weird French ones.
He never had like the ones we always wanted were the penthouse because those are the most hardcore.
Right.
But some of the other ones.
The saddest one of my
titles of those.
We guys would call it OUI.
Right. Yeah, we just call it Owie. Like we didn't know what it was.
Owie.
One of the like rock bottom moments I had is my buddy Dave. He worked at a Dale's Junior supermarket, so he could pinch some of the porn when he left at the end, and he amassed this big pile of porn. And just like your buddy who rented it to you, we had like a porn trade once where I was like 23 and I had like a duffel bag full of porn, and I like showed up in this one bedroom apartment and like spread this stuff out, and I was like, yeah, I'll take that gent. He's like, all right, we'll give you the gent, but it's going to cost you 2 penthouses because this is hardcore. I'm like, all right, how about milking and popping? You got that? I've seen that one. I'll take it. And it was like, I remember very clearly, even though it was a one bedroom, his roommate was asleep in the other room because he worked like the night shift and the other guy worked for like FedEx during the day. And we're just, you ever just catch a glimpse of yourself doing something insanely pathetic, like trading pornography with your buddy who was thrown out of the Navy?
For example?
Thrown out of the Navy?
Beat a superior officer with a shoe.
Okay.
But a good guy to trade porn with. Yeah.
Why would you use a shoe?
Why would you use a shoe? Well, I could take the same question.
Or something worse than a shoe.
I'll bet you a fist is a bigger offense.
Yeah. Tell that to the journalist who chucked it at Bush's.
Bush.
Yeah. My favorite thing about that story is when the journalist hucked a hirachi at the guy at Bush's head, the newscaster would then stop and go, that's a sign of disrespect in their country. It's like, oh, really? Because when someone chucks a fucking shoe at my head,
I thought it was a symbol
States,
of love,
yeah,
desire.
Yes.
I must be killing up here.
Yeah. By the way, you make fun of Bush all you want, but that slip move he did was Sugar Ray Leonard-esque. Like, that was... That makes up for him going to the door and that went to nowhere. Was that him?
That was him.
Show that slip.
It was at the same Bush who vomited in the diplomat's lap? Or was
I think
that was
dad.
That was his dad.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Now I'm senior.
Yeah.
So astronomers have discovered an asteroid between Mars and Jupiter that is made of so much precious metal, it's worth $10 quintillion.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the number 10 followed by 18 zeros for
you
anyone
Jews
who didn't know.
Better build a rocket. I know how you people think.
It's named the 16 Psyche. It has a diameter of about 135 miles, and it's mostly composed of precious metals like nickel, iron, and platinum.
All those space mining movies that were the beginning of, like, Alien and all that, where they're like, there's a mining ship, and then it's a future. Like, we all kind of laughed at in the 80s. That's what's going to happen,
like it's
right?
It's around the corner, yeah.
It's coming, right?
Yeah, that'd be great. There's asteroids made of diamonds.
Right.
We can get on that.
Yeah, but we can't bring home, like, De Beers is going to shoot down the fucking rocket. Because right now they got a great scam where my wife says to me, it's only $11,000 for this worthless piece of shit that has an industrial application but no other real-world application. That's a good deal. And it's all done because De Beers keeps a tight grip on it. Soon as the Texas-sized meteor that's made of that shit lands in Studio City, it's game off for De Beers. De Beers is never going to let that shit happen.
Between a real diamond and a fucking piece of glass. Nobody knows. Yeah. There might be one person in here that actually knows, but otherwise, like, it's just a fucking piece of glass. Who gives a shit?
Right. And also, I never really thought about this, but De Beers caused more male suffering than all the wars put together. And there's no hyperbole here. Look it up. Google this shit. Ironically, this company's named after the sound of a guy from Chicago talking about beer.
Yeah, the thing you love the most.
Rudy, don't now we got the beers over here.
Yeah, come on, join us. We got the beers.
Just an observation. Sorry, Jim.
Yeah. Well, Alec Baldwin's casting in the upcoming film Blind has come, quote, under fire. Alec stars a novelist who loses his sight in a car crash, but one advocacy group believes...
Hold on, you got to check under the seat. You ever lose something, it's always under the car seat.
His sight?
Well, look, I'm not a fucking optometrist, all right? But you lose your sight in a car crash, I look under the seat.
First place.
Very good tip. Yeah. Well, an advocacy group...
Do you like the super loser move of the double trip out to the car? Like, the first thing, like, when you can't find your sunglasses or whatever, your fucking lighter, whatever you're looking for... You'll make the first trip to the car, but it's never a thorough investigation. It's just, where's this? Yeah, it's not out here. Then you go back to the house. Then about 25 minutes later, it's round two. Now this time, I got a flashlight, bitch, and I'm on a mission this time. First time, I didn't really think the shit was out here, but I went anyway just to check that box. Now I know they're here.
Right.
And you
where else could it be? Now you're looking at crevices?
I would argue a more thorough search the first time around is going to be time share. But yes.
Absolutely.
Baldwin. Can I say this about Baldwin?
Yeah.
Could Baldwin either get skinny or super fat? I don't like where he's at right now. He's like he's hovering around handsome,
bulky.
But he's a little bit bulky. Yeah. He's a little bit stuck. He goes up a few pounds, but immediately brings it right off. Yep. Shouldn't he just balloon up to over 400 pounds or get down to svelte, what is that, Miami Blues or whatever
was Fat Baldwin? When was the peak years of Fat Baldwin?
It was
before 30 Rock.
He's gotten up there. But yes. He's knocking on the door of morbid obesity, but he goes right back down.
Yeah.
Oh, I blame his fucking wife.
She's a yoga instructor.
Goddamn right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing a lot of yoga.
Yeah, he needs to marry someone
who works.
Yeah, a chef.
A pastry chef.
Yeah, somebody who serves dirty fries. Yeah. Sorry. So what's Baldwin doing?
Well, he's doing this movie, but people are pissed because the advocacy group believes that the gig should have gone to a blind actor. In a statement to the L.A. Times, the president of the Ruderman Family Foundation says, quote...
Hold on. I got an answer for that. Baldwin's blind. Well, what the fuck are they going to know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like they've seen all his movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of haters who have sight who are going to lie to you, but I'm telling you now.
So he's that good of an actor. He's been playing a sighted actor this whole time.
That Red Dawn movie should... I mean, not Red Dawn.
Red October?
Red October.
Red October.
Yeah, that should have been titled Good Looking Guy Walks Into Periscope. That's all he did. I don't even know why he bothered doing it. Yeah, sorry.
They're saying, we no longer find it acceptable for white actors to portray black characters. Disability as a costume needs to also become universally unacceptable.
All right, but...
They're never going to see the movie.
That's what we're saying.
Wow.
They're not even going to see Alec Baldwin in the movie.
Touché.
Yeah.
Tell you what, you show me a good blind actor... And I'll let him audition, but he can't read the fucking sides. Someone's got to be whispering his dialogue into his ear.
He could have an earpiece.
I guess, but why do I have to go to that extra trouble?
Yeah. Yeah, fuck those finger draggers.
Yeah.
Well, come on. They should know their place.
I would seriously consider...
Stringing beads at a factory. That's what they do.
I would consider blinding myself for that role.
Yeah.
Because my career is kind of at a dead end. I would pluck out my eyes to play that role. Can we tell them? What's the name of the association?
The Ruderman Family.
The association.
The Ruderman Family Foundation.
The Grubermans?
The Rudermans.
Rudermans.
Are the Rudermans all blind? Is it like a genetic thing?
I mean, it's their foundation, so it's possible. But remember, we did a story a while ago with, I can't remember the name of the syndrome, but the woman wanted to be blind, so she her therapist blinded her with acid, and then she felt like she was finally living in her true identity.
What?
Right.
Yeah, we did that story a lot.
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah. But was this
that one
country?
Of those fake movies?
Yeah, it was here, yeah. We had video, yeah.
Was that a fake movie idea?
No, it was a real news story.
Wow.
So, what Ray, if the, you're what if going
the,
that way.
What if the chick who wanted to be black decided to change her tune and now wanted to be blind? Oh, that's a pretty rich career.
Yeah.
Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah.
Here's
sad that we
thing,
know her name.
About acting. What?
Yeah, tell us about acting.
I'm
going to
tell you guys.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a lot about the acting?
Yeah,
the art of acting, the craft?
No, here's the thing.
Is this inside the actor's? I'd love to hear about your subtle impersonation.
This is inside the actor's buffet.
People like a little insight into the game, no pun intended. But here's the thing. When you're acting in front of a camera, and we all know this, there's something you have to hit your mark. Because the camera has to stay in focus. So you walk across the room. They have a mark on the floor that you're supposed to know where it's going to be. And then you hit that and you deliver your line. Now, God bless them. I'm just not seeing these blind knees coming into my business and hitting their mark.
Keckner's right. These people should have less opportunity. He's totally right. The funny
now,
the other thing
I
is so
agree that they should be on a better sleep cycle because I know it's an issue.
It is.
The non-24.
Their circadian rhythm is perfect.
You know the thing that's funny about a mark? I just had it today. When you guys know this, like what they'll do is they'll go, we'll take, they don't have marks. They have tape that they can make into the shape of a T. And they go, like, right here. That's your mark. So you just come on out, come around the corner, and then just stop right here. That's your mark. And you go, okay. And then at some point, the DP or the director goes, we can see the mark. And the guy goes, oh, okay, let me pull that up. He pulls it up, and he goes, just stop there. And then he walks away. And I'm like, all right, well, if that was our final destination, we probably could have saved you the part where you taped the ground together and just said, just stop there instead.
I've done it before with sandbags. You can use a sandbag, and you can use your foot, your toes, your tootsies to find the sandbag.
The sandbag is the passive-aggressive thing the guy gets out when you're not stopping at your mark. So what they do is they go, they put your mark, and you miss your mark the first three times, and they go, get a sack filled with fucking sand. Maybe this guy will trip over it and understand that's... So when they drop the sandbag, that's passive-aggressive where you're not hitting your masking tape. All right, one more, Gina Kratz.
You got it.
Having an opportunity, even the blind guy, but I guess...
Oh, my God.
Where is he going to be... he's doing his job.
Right.
The actress is over here. He's talking over there.
He's talking. He's talking to a hat rack.
And we're all...
Well, he can hear her. He can follow the sound of her voice.
I know, but every time he walks in, he goes, oh, okay.
Kendra's got
like
a lot of range. Yeah. We started the news about him being outraged by what's
pissed.
Going on in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And it's really...
Am.
And speaking of that, he's come full circle with his anti-blind campaign.
He really hates those blind people.
It's truly my only prejudice.
Yeah. Hey, I'll do my Dave Koegner. I'm not saying Stevie Wonder's bad, but overrated does come to mind. I mean...
The man's a national treasure. He's
got lucky with a couple of hits in the 70s. We treat him like a shit doesn't stink.
20 classic songs.
Look, when somebody has to walk you over to your instrument, that's just not a guy I want to see on stage.
Okay, but
you know
once he's there, he's got the voice of an angel.
I walk my dog. I don't walk folks to a Steinway.
I've got nothing against blind
musicians. That's old-fashioned. Now, Gushy Fry.
It does look pretty good, actually.
Okay. All right, one more, Gina Kratz.
You got it. Well, kids aren't partying anymore. According to data from the National Institute of Health's annual Monitoring the Future survey, teens aren't drinking or using drugs as much as teens in the past. Use of drugs among teens was the lowest in the survey's 40-year history. Even pot use, way down. Drinking was down, too. Only about 37% of high school seniors said they'd gotten drunk. And in 2001, that was way above 50%. Okay. So they're not partying. Right. They're done.
All right. Why don't you check high schoolers' Instagram?
That's a very
and
good
you
point.
You tell me that their usage is all they've done is gotten better and smarter about, like, don't fucking answer that question. Right. Just put no.
It's anonymous.
Right.
Just don't answer the dumb old people's questions.
I don't know what the weapon of choice is, but when I was in high school, it was like Mickey's Big Mouth. You know, they had Boone's Farm. You know, they had stuff that was the weapon of choice.
Yeah.
And it was
DJ
actually
Swan, Easy Nights.
Yeah. It was basically young white kids and hobos. There was nothing in between. Like, here's what you guys do. You make stuff for 15-year-old white guys from the suburbs, and then you make stuff for guys who sleep in a dumpster. But there's nobody in between drinks your product.
Stuff for the 15-year-old's future.
Right, yeah. The present and the future. I blame the people at Mickey's Big Mouth. I feel like they've dropped the ball. They're fucking off their game. Yeah. Yeah,
maybe
somebody
it's a marketing
needs to
thing.
Step up. Yeah. I don't like this.
Fill that void.
Have you guys ever tried Night Train?
Don't get stuck on a night train.
I tried it recently. I'm wondering if I'm alone.
No.
Anybody else try night train?
It's like fortified wine.
Malt liquor,
yeah, Thunderbird,
it's
whatever.
Were you alone when you were drinking it?
I was.
Nice.
I was. You know why I was alone? Because I was the first one at work.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Somebody brought a bunch of crap over to the radio station, and everybody wanted to try the night train.
I feel like night train,
who
you know.
Who night train?
Exactly.
It's all about advertising, right? It's all about Monster Energy drink and Red Bull all over everything. Night train killed themselves because 80% of people that consume their product did it from a bag.
Yeah. Covering the logo.
Yeah,
it'd be funny if you pulled the bag off and the logo was just a brown bag. Like, just be like when a guy whips off his sunglasses.
They should put
sunglasses
night train
under.
Logos on all paper bags.
Oh, smart.
There you go.
Smart.
There you go.
I only, my Thunderbird and Night Train was only when I did earthquake rehab around Koreatown over there off of like Normandy and Wilshire.
Is that a reality show?
What?
Earthquake rehab?
Earthquake rehab, yeah. Dr. Drew.
It's very,
and a seismic expert. And a civil engineer all came together.
Your disaster has hurt us in the following ways.
Yes, they
draw a straight line.
Yeah. I did retrofitting, seismic work for the city of Los Angeles when I was swinging hammer. And the neighborhoods were so bad that every time we'd pull up in the morning, there'd be the empty syringes and empty night train bottles with just litter. Yeah, it was awesome.
Do you remember Thunderbird had a great jingle back in the day? Remember the jingle?
Thunderbird?
Thunderbird. No, what's the word? Thunderbird. What's the price? 50 twice.
Wow.
It was a dollar. It was a dollar.
I love that. Take that, Chuck Woolery. Or whatever.
50 twice.
Turn two.
Wow. I like that. All right. Where were we?
You
one more.
Bring, you want one more?
One
you got
more.
It. Here's a good one to end on. The Daily Mail reports that the Canadian cannibal porn star who chopped up and ate his boyfriend is set to be married behind bars. This is 2 years after he revealed he was looking for Prince Charming on a matchmaking site for violent convicts. He was a porn star, stripper, a sex worker. He was sentenced to life in prison for murdering his lover and mailing the body parts to schools and political parties. He joined Canadian Inmates Connect Incorporated. That's a dating forum that tries to set up lonesome jailbirds with each other.
It's a good thing they're incorporated. They avoid the tax implications. Yeah. Or, you know,
tax-free Nevada.
Take advantage of some loopholes.
You know, true story, Ryan Gosling was going to play him in a movie,
but there
was an outcry from gay cannibals across the world who said, we only want gay cannibals to play gay cannibals. And Ryan Gosling is no gay cannibal. True story.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
That's how far
we've
gone.
Yeah, listen,
Adam.
The thigh chuggers have a pretty strong lobby.
Put an onion ring on it.
I think we ain't going to get any better than that. David Koechner over here, Superior Donuts. Season 2 premieres October on CBS, and shoot him a tweet at David Koechner. That's Koechner. Rainn Wilson over here. Lide Hei Lai is the... Did I get that right?
Lide Haiti. It's a charity,
oh, sorry.
Nonprofit. Oop. I run with my wife. Over
sorry,
here.
I don't have my glasses on.
LideHaiti.org.
There it is. Lide.
For girls' education in Haiti.
You want some glasses?
Probably could have just wrote Haiti.
And they're not trying to be helpful.
Doing H-A-Y. I'm familiar with the place.
Ray and his wife have a wonderful... they still are diligent in their support of the people of Haiti.
Yeah.
Who are still in great need.
Of earthquake rehab.
Earthquake rehab.
See how I brought that around?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, they could have used my help over there. And by the way, you can check out the movie Shimmer Lake. It's available now on Amazon. And
Netflix.
Rain. Oh, sorry. I was thinking about
it. Are your eyes that bad? You could play the role of Alec Baldwin.
Your eyes? Sorry.
You could do Alec Baldwin's role.
I've been my brain has been damaged by the sun. And I shall never return to normal. Rain Wilson, check him out on Twitter. There we go. Yes, if you'd like. All right, so till next time.
Really, that's your plug? Rain Wilson, check him out on Twitter?
I don't know. Watch Shimmer Lake.
If you're bored.
Netflix, everybody. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dave Koechner, Rain Wilson, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
Oxnard.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Gina Grad's on 100.3 The Sound weekday mornings in Los Angeles, California. And for tickets and info on everything Adam Carolla, including the Carolla Cruise this November departing out of Miami, visit AdamCarolla.com.
Hey everyone, it's former WWE host Lillian Garcia. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder how your favorite stars make it to the big time? Then come check out my new show, Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia on podcastone.com. Hear me chat with some of your favorite athletes and entertainers about their rise to the top. It's about to get real, raw, and inspiring. So join me for new episodes every Monday on podcastone.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Eastman Guitars presents the Carolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour, August 22nd in Santa Barbara, California, with Loxy. Baby, let's roll and get it older. No, I don't intend to make you late, but I see a little light inside your head. The Smoking Kills. Just another Southern California. Get your tickets now at CarollaDrinks.com. And all the pretty girls start to look the same. And comedy with your host, Matt Edgar.
Hi, I'm working high at Chevron.
Still.
Good to know, dude. Now I know where to get my weed and gas. I'll put 20 on 10 and 20 on a 10.
And special guest, Taylor Morgan.
And I remember when I got my first check for acting. The check said right on it, actor's fee. And I showed a friend of mine, I was like, you know, I really want to frame it because it's the first one, but I sort of need the $50. And he said, no way, you frame it. I will give you the $50. Which I thought was so nice. So I showed another friend, I was like, you know, really, frame it.
The Carolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour at Soho Restaurant and Music Club. Follow on Twitter at SohoSB. Sponsored by Eastman Guitars. Visit EastmanGuitars.com. Loxy and the Smokin' Kills. Plus Matt Edgar and Taylor Morgan. Tuesday, August 22nd. Get your tickets now at CarollaDrinks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.